Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for having me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Michael Lehman is here. Michael is a new friend. He's a VP of Federal Government Relations for the International Franchise Association. That's the trade group for franchises, for people who create franchises, the franchisors, and for the people who acquire them, who buy them, who become part of that ecosystem and become franchisees in the local hometowns. You may be one, you probably know some. And there's some things going on right now that are very troubling, have been going on now for 4 or 5 years, very troubling. You've heard me talk about it on the show before. And Michael is in Mike is at ground zero of this. I mean, he's fighting the fight on this thing. He's part of the tip of the spear on fighting this thing that we're going to explain to you, that you've heard me talk about in the past, around the Browning-Ferris ruling and what the NLRB has been doing associated with this to harm the franchise industry. Michael Lehman, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be on your great show, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. It's good to have you here. So, Mike, here's something that I've been telling, a couple of things I've been basing my indignation, my righteous indignation about this on. Number one, some things in the marketplace I consider to be natural law. And if something's natural law, you just don't mess with it. And the way the franchise industry has established itself over the years, the structure, what I consider that structure to be akin to natural law, because it just works, and it works so almost flawlessly and perfectly, and it benefits so many people from all walks of life, all political perspectives. It's just such a beneficial thing. It's akin to a natural law, as far as I'm concerned. That's one thing. Number two, the franchise is one of America's great gifts to the world. The concept of the franchise is helped to make America great, helped to make the American dream, and you just don't go messing around with that for nothing. What do you think?
Well, thanks, Jim. And listen, as you said, I may be a first time participant on your call, but I knew we would get along very well because, as you have said over the years, you know, franchising is one of capitalism's greatest gifts to mankind. Because a big part of the American dream for many people has been the dream of owning and running your own business.
That's right.
And franchising has consistently helped more people, more women, more minorities,
yep,
more veterans, more people who were successful in a different career, allow them to change course and achieve the dream of owning your own business and running your own business. So, and that's because in franchising, you go into business for yourself, but it's like cooking with a recipe. You don't need to recreate
right.
the wheel. You
that's
don't
right.
need a law degree or a Harvard MBA to necessarily operate a franchise.
Or maybe, in many cases, not $1 million in initial capital. I call being a franchisee entrepreneurial coloring inside the lines. And
that's right.
And as much as I love franchises, I could never be a franchisee because I don't like to play by the rules. I'd rather ask for forgiveness instead of permission. And so I would never work that way. But a lot of people, it's perfect for them. And I want to support. I support those people with everything that I can. So tell the audience what happened and why it happened. And let's take them on the remind them, take them on the tour of where we started and where we've been and where we are now.
Well, Jim, we'd love to have you in franchising anytime. We'll put that aside, but wanted to say that. So what happened just last week, buried in the holidays between Christmas and New Year's, was this uh, cir- Circuit Court decision, the D.C. Circuit, which is the second highest court in the land, right below the Supreme Court, based there in Washington, D.C., in many people's minds, that really affects how franchises do business. And this obscure labor law case, Jim, involving a garbage company, has been looming over the franchise community for about 5 years now. And there's been many different decisions and steps in the process here, but this Browning-Ferris case has changed how just about every franchise system operates to some degree over the past several years. So it was this court decision last week. It was complex, but what it did at bottom is perpetuate the confusion that franchise business people have about the rules of labor law moving forward. And let's be very clear that this obscure case known as Browning-Ferris, again, it doesn't just affect franchising. It affects any business-to-business relationship in terms of if one company has too much control over a business partner, well, then they can be considered joint employers. And that's always been the case.
And the joint employer part connects whatever onerous rules, whatever union organization can be applied to the mothership, the big daddy, so to speak, then by definition of Browning-Ferris in the NLRB ruling, migrates down to the smaller partners, right? The smaller stakeholders.
That's right. So if you're McDonald's or you're Marriott or you're Gold's Gym, sell franchise licenses to franchisees around the country, and they get to, again, achieve the American dream and run their own business, their own franchise.
Yep.
But this joint employer doctrine, and really was created around the will of Congress by some Obama administration agency officials.
In order to promote union organization, largely.
That's right, you know, would make all these brands liable for the actions of their operators that they have nothing to do with. But the whole goal here is labor unions, with their declining 6% membership rate
right.
among private sector workers, have targeted franchise as one of their next big growth areas, because there's almost no unionization in franchising. And unions really don't like our business model because they have to unionized store by store by store, or restaurant by restaurant, or shop by shop, rather than what they prefer is to try to initiate a corporate campaign against, as we've seen, companies like Walmart or Starbucks that are corporate, top-down. They find that much more fruitful.
Right.
So they're trying to streamline the franchise business model for their own monetary
gain. Mike, hold on. The IFA.org, right? IFI.
Franchise.org.
Okay. Check franchise.org, folks. Quick break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.